and glory of the servant. See, my servant will act wisely. He will be raised and lifted up and highly exalted. Just as there were many who were appalled at him, his appearance was so disfigured beyond that of any human being, and his form marred beyond human likeness. So he will sprinkle many nations, and kings will shut their mouths because of him. For what they were not told, they will see, and what they have not heard, they will understand. Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. Like one from whom people hide their faces, he was despised, and we held him in low esteem. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as sheep before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, yet who of his generation protested? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was punished. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life an offering for sin, he will see his offspring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. After he has suffered, he will see the light of life and be satisfied by his knowledge. My righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors. For he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Amen.
Short break in our series on the book of Acts. We call that series Unstoppable because it's about the unstoppable advance of the gospel of Jesus from Jerusalem out throughout the whole world through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, just to be clear, we haven't stopped Unstoppable. It's just on pause for a couple of weeks, and it will continue during term two. But over Easter, we're looking at the servant songs in Isaiah. The reading from Christine earlier is the last, and it's also the longest of the four commonly recognized servant songs. And in many ways, it's the climax of that servant theme, at least in the book of Isaiah. But before we dive into that passage, I want to talk about a story in Acts that we didn't preach on when we were up to it just over a month ago. It's in the second part of Acts chapter 8. Now, some of you covered it in your life group, though we didn't actually deal with it in our Sunday services. The story is about Philip, who was one of the early Christians and a deacon in the church at Jerusalem. He left Jerusalem because of the persecution there and went to Samaria, where he preached the gospel. We're told that crowds of people responded to the message of the gospel of Jesus and became Christians, accepted Jesus as their Lord and Saviour. This was an early stage in the unstoppable expansion of the gospel out from Jerusalem. Now, despite his success in sharing the gospel with those crowds in Samaria, a very strange thing happens next. It's a bit counterintuitive. The Lord directs him to an isolated, lonely road out in the desert. Why? When so many converts were being won there in Samaria. Well, the reason was to meet up with just one man, an Ethiopian official who was in charge of the Queen's treasury. He was returning back to Ethiopia after a pilgrimage to Jerusalem, where he had been worshipping God. When Philip catches up with him in this lonely, deserted place, he finds him reading these words from Scripture. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb is silent before the shearers, he did not open his mouth. He was humiliated and received no justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. They are verses from Acts chapter 8, verses 32 and 33. But that is also Isaiah 53, verses 7 and 8, part of the servant song that Christine read to us earlier. The Ethiopian is puzzled by these words of Scripture, and he asks Philip whether the prophet Isaiah was talking about himself or about someone else. Now, we don't know exactly what Philip said in reply, but the record says that starting with this scripture, this servant song from Isaiah, he told the Ethiopian the good news about Jesus. As a result, the Ethiopian believed in Jesus, was baptized on the spot, and, quote, went on his way rejoicing. No longer just a worshipper of God, but now a follower of Jesus. No doubt taking the gospel message even further from Jerusalem as he headed back to Ethiopia. As we come to this servant song in the end of Isaiah 52, the beginning of Isaiah 53, it's easy to see why the servant mentioned here, often referred to as the suffering servant, is identified as Jesus. Listen again to these verses. I'll read them slowly. I'll read them in a different translation, the New Living Translation. I'll read them slowly so you can think about them and how they relate to Jesus. Verse 14 of chapter 52. His face was so disfigured, he seemed hardly human. Chapter 53, verse 2. There was nothing beautiful or majestic about his appearance, nothing to attract us to him. Verse 3. He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with deepest grief. We turned our backs on him and looked the other way. He was despised and we did not care. Or verse 7, he was oppressed and treated harshly, yet he never said a word. He was like a lamb led to the slaughter, and as a sheep is silent before the shearers, he did not open his mouth. And verse 8, unjustly condemned, he was led away. No one cared that he died without descendants, that his life was cut short in midstream. And one other verse to reflect on for a moment. He had done no wrong and had never deceived anyone, but he was buried like a criminal. He was put in a rich man's grave. All that perfectly describes what happened to Jesus, even down to his burial in a tomb owned by Joseph Arimathea, a wealthy member of the Jewish council. And remember that these prophecies from Isaiah were written over 700 years before Jesus was born. Yet they describe in such detail what happened to him. The servant's song not only tells us what happened to the servant, but even more importantly, why it would happen. The servant dies as a sacrifice, paying for the sin of others, or thanks to the kids' talk, paying for the mistakes or the errors of others. Listen to these verses. Verse 4 of chapter 53. Yet it was our weaknesses he carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down. Verse 5. But he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. Are you getting the picture? I think this last verse makes it even clearer. Verse 6. All of us, like sheep, have strayed away. We have left God's paths to follow our own way. Yet the Lord laid on him the sins of us all. Do you get the earth-shattering significance of that? We've all sinned, me, you, everyone. But Jesus paid the penalty for our sin through his death. Now, Jews were used to the idea of offering an animal sacrifice as a substitute for their sins. It was something that they had done over and over and over again for centuries. But here was something new from the prophet. Jesus was a perfect, once-for-all sacrifice. Verse 11 of chapter 53. Well, verse 11 and 12 of chapter 53. My righteous servant will make it possible for many to be counted righteous, for he will bear all their sins. He bore the sins of many and interceded for rebels. You may not have ever thought of yourself as a rebel, but that's what we've all been in God's eyes. Because it means doing our own thing, going our own way, rather than being obedient and following God's way. But the good news is that Jesus died to bring rebels like me and you back into relationship with God. The servant, the suffering servant, died for us. Jesus said during his ministry that he came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. There's a song in the New Testament that relates closely to this servant song. It's in Philippians chapter 2. Now, you may not have realised that Paul was actually quoting an early Christian hymn here, but that's what most commentators conclude. And the hymn goes like this. We don't have the tune. I'm not going to sing it to you. I'm just going to read the words that are there in Philippians 2. He made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Taking the very nature of a servant, he humbled himself, and he died for us. What Paul says in introducing this song is vitally important for us today. In verse 5 of Philippians chapter 2, Paul says, "You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had." And he means by that the attitude of a servant. That's why he quotes this song, emphasizing this servant attitude. That's our calling. We too are to be servants. We are, first of all, servants of the one true living God. But then, as servants of God, we are to serve one another and to serve a needy world. As I finish, I just want to point out that the servant song in Isaiah 53 is not just about the suffering servant. It's also, towards the end, about the victorious servant who, quote, will see his offspring and prolong his days, and, quote again, and see the light of life. But I'm starting to venture into the theme for Easter Sunday morning. Join us then for celebration of the amazing sequel to this day, Good Friday.